Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Will you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I've been on sabbatical for 4 months, so it's good to hear this story of beginning as I'm beginning again with Community Mennonite Church. Thank you, CMC, for making a sabbatical possible. It was a rich time for spiritual renewal, for study, for writing, and for rest. I'll share more about it during a monthly gathering sometime soon. I also just thank you for the blessing that it is to return to all of you. According to one of our originating stories, humankind, Adam, in Hebrew, that word for man in the scripture reading that we heard, Adam was created by hand, by God, by dust, and by breath. Our unique human kind of life was sustained by a garden full of plants and animals, and in turn, we tended the garden, cared for the animals. Genesis 2 also describes initial conditions that allowed our life to emerge and sustained Eden's paradise. Think water, an underground stream that when it reached the surface, watered the whole face of the ground. That's in verse 6. And a few verses later, there are four great rivers mentioned, two which we study in elementary school, the Tigris and the Euphrates, rivers of the Fertile Crescent, and two which we can no longer trace because the Gihon and the Pishon rivers are only remembered here by ancient people who knew what we would have otherwise forgotten. Perhaps that's often true in Scripture. This creation story, the second one in Genesis, describes us, Adam, at first without gender differentiation, without race, without national identity, without any particular economic status. We are one living being with one vocation. Adam's first task is naming the animals, meeting and knowing and naming each one, recognizing and honoring all the diversity of animal life. Our vocation as Adam in the garden is summarized this way, to till and to keep it. Now, tilling is a human responsibility in an agrarian society, and keeping or shepherding animals is a human responsibility in a herding society. So the phrase, to till and to keep, transmits some ancient human wisdom about society. To till and to keep. It seems gentler, doesn't it, than the phrase for human responsibility in the earlier Genesis creation story, which commissions us to subdue the earth and have dominion over fish, birds, and everything that moves. But really, biblically, even though these two stories in Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2 come from different traditions of faithful Hebrews, the meanings of these two phrases are similar. We human beings have unique capacities and special responsibilities within creation. And make no mistake, we are accountable to God for these responsibilities. This creation story is worth pondering because today we are aware of the ecological crises on this watery garden globe that we call home. Since the mythical days of Eden, some of us have lost sight of our vocation, amidst the industrial and technological transformations in society. Others have never lost or are even today regaining a sense of our calling to care for the earth, to till and keep it, to be in solidarity with our natural home. Isn't this one dimension of the politics and spirituality of Mary, the mother of Jesus, which Isaac Villegas highlighted last weekend at our retreat? Isn't the cry of the poor and the cry of the earth ultimately the same cry? Didn't we hear last weekend that fantastical story from Revelation in which the wilderness is a place of nourishment for the woman and the earth itself comes to her aid? Perhaps the ancients were right. Our origin and future is to be in reconciled, responsible community with creation. While I was on sabbatical, I went to Minnesota to study the giant bound heritage edition of the St. John's Bible. It is called an illuminated Bible because the artwork throughout the volumes is not so much decoration, but illuminates or is a theological reflection on key scripture passages. Now, most illuminated Bibles are really very old, from the Middle Ages, but the St. John's Bible is brand new. It is the first complete handwritten illuminated Bible since the invention of the printing press. It is a new revised standard version, so it's a very contemporary version, and the illuminations in the first pages of Genesis connect the best of our scientific understanding of geological and anthropological history with our creation stories. Thankfully, this Bible was designed with an understanding that the science and scripture are compatible dimensions of our theology and spirituality. Friends, the Bible is not at fault for Jewish or Christian failure to care for the earth. The Bible doesn't whitewash our antagonism against creation, but these Genesis tales anchor our God-breathed origin in community with creation. Our vocation is to be gardeners and caretakers of the earth, who also depend on creation for our very lives. We are made from the dust of the earth. We are created by a God willing to get her hands dirty down in the mud and form us as a living being. Imagine the original form. No gender differentiation, no racial distinctions. We are one. Let's not blame our failures to be one with each other and one with the earth on the Bible. That would be a cheap excuse, shrugging off our responsibility and our accountability before God. Scripture is actually a profound resource for renewing our vocation to care for the earth and deepening our love for and solidarity with both the rest of humanity and all the natural world. The illuminations in the St. John's Bible include things like the double helix of human DNA and images of the earliest cave paintings by human beings. The illumination for Genesis 2 shows the fecundity of creation spilling over the gold frame of the Garden of Eden, and humanity is modeled on the Cairo tribe in Ethiopia along the Omo River, acknowledging our origins in Africa. In addition to the artists who provided theological illuminations, Chris Tomlin is a natural history illustrator, and he contributed to the Bible insects. So you're reading along, this Bible is giant, like this size, and you gently turn these pages, and as you turn a page, it's as if a dragonfly has suddenly landed on the vellum, or a beetle has shown up right there in the prophet that you happen to be reading. Vivid illustrations of butterflies adorn certain pages, and their wings often show up in illuminations that connect heaven and earth. So on sabbatical, I would often find myself studying the illuminations and reading aloud this beautifully handwritten calligraphy of familiar scripture. And this happened in a temperature-controlled library study room in the basement at a university campus. But then in the afternoon, I'd see those very insects from the pages of the prophets and the epistles flitting along the edge of Lake Sagatagan where I was hiking. Last year, one of the themes that emerged from our congregation's vision process was captured with the phrase green congregation. Recently, a task force has formed, and these are the CMCers involved. You probably know some of these folks. Brian Martin Burkholder, who's convening the group, Wayne Teal, Kathy Yoder, Doug Graber-Neufeld, and Alex Graber-Neufeld, Randy Reichenbach, Lucy Malenke, and David Schenk. I hope I didn't forget anybody. These folks are getting in touch with our vocation to till and keep the garden, to know and name the animals, to be in solidarity with the earth, to remember our rivers and watershed, to hear creation's cry and respond with love and care. The task force is preparing a proposal for church council, and during the November congregational meeting, we hope that the congregation will be ready to move forward with some version of the proposal as seems fitting to all of you. This past week, I met with Brian to learn more about the direction that the task force is taking, and I was really moved by the depth of their work. And I recognize that it has been stirring in many of our hearts over some years. One of the commitments that this task force has is to intentionally connect CMC with other local folks who inspire us by their care for creation. Groups like the Climate Action Alliance of the Valley, CAV, and Renew Rocktown, and other congregations who are doing interesting things, like Parkview Mennonite Church. Perhaps the stirring within you has connected you with the adult education class that Wayne Teal is convening. Or you're interested in the forest farm along Black's Run and the North End Greenway because you've been talking with Cornelius Franz. Valerie Serrells could share with you her vision of a church of the wild. Or maybe after hearing Lois this morning, you are going to be headed out to watch the raptors next year. The CMC Task Force proposal will include something related to greening our buildings that we own as a congregation, and also bringing our lives into greater solidarity with the earth, which is crying out. This is challenging work if it involves changing our lifestyles in any way. And it's not likely to move forward from guilt or shame or despair. The people on this task force are convinced that we can't care for something we don't love. And so by nurturing a deep love for creation, recognizing that love is a verb, and caring for the earth by shifting our lifestyles, we can realize the vocation of Adam. Perhaps your spirituality is deeply connected with the natural world, hiking woodland trails, gardening, or being on the water, or bird watching feeds your spirit. For some, though, our Christian spirituality hasn't been interconnected with human solidarity with creation, yet our Bible is suffused with creation-based spirituality. It seems to be God's long-term project to restore all relationships, including the relationship between humanity and creation. That's why we see Jesus, born according to the stars, communicating directly with storms, healing bodies beset by disease, feeding hungry people, and working miracles with mud and water and breath as if he were God in the garden, forming us as one humanity, transforming us from a body of humiliation into Christ's glorious body. Today, Christ comes to us again in the grain and the grape, crushed by human efforts into bread and wine. These are signs of creation, a body in crisis, and these are signs of new life, new love, new care for all things, a new Adam.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.